So last week, Jesus had that wonderful imagery of the vine and the branches as a depiction of the intimacy, the closeness that he desires with each one of us. This amazing unity between a branch and the vine, sharing the very same life force, is what he wants us to have in our mind when we think about our relationship with him. And he continues that same passage in John 15 today with even maybe a more vivid image as he connects this to the very life of God. When Jesus is talking about this close intimacy between the Father and the Son, this shared life of love. As the Father loves me, so I love you. This is my command, love one another as I love you. Jesus wants our life, our love with each other, our love for the world to imitate his love that he shares with the Father. This complete and total submission into one another. That the Father loves the Son completely and pours himself out with a free and faithful and total gift of self, a fruitful gift of self. And the Son returns that gift. This is the intimacy, the reality of the relationship that Jesus has invited each one of us into. What an amazing reality this is. That as the Father and the Son love each other, we are invited. But more than invited, twice tonight he says, we are commanded to love as he loves. So how is it possible that we can be commanded to love? Right? Love is just a strong attraction, a deep emotional connection that we have with someone or something. A particular food, a pet, a location, vacation spot. And we love these things, and it makes us feel good when we're around these things. And this is how I know I love. Because the way I feel when they're in my life, or when I'm close to them, or I think about them. I'm sure if you went to school in Tallahassee, I can't command you to love Gainesville, and vice versa. And we can't command strong feelings, strong positive feelings. So what is it Jesus is talking about? What is it, this thing that he's commanding us to do? Love as the Father has loved me. Love as I have loved the Father. Love as I love you. This is happening on the night of the Last Supper, just a few hours before the arrest and the passion of Jesus, his death on the cross. And this is what he's talking about. For he says, there's no greater love than to lay down your life for your friend. And in just a few hours after this speech, after this conversation, he's going to show them what that love looks like as he gives himself completely, totally, faithfully, fruitfully on the cross. And this is what we're invited into. This is the lifestyle that we're invited into, to give of myself completely for the sake of the other. For the Father loves us so much that he sent his Son as expiation for our sins. We didn't ask for it. The Father saw our pitiful condition and he sent his Son to rescue us. This is what love is. This is what love does. It never looks at itself for its what's beneficial or what's pleasing to self. It spends itself for the complete sake of the other. This is an amazing relationship. And this is why the crucifix is necessary for us, to be a constant reminder of what love, of what true love looks like. Why it's necessary for it to be in the sanctuary. Why it should be in the center of our homes and in the center of our heart. So when we leave here and we go into the world and the world lies to us about what is love, when we turn on the Hallmark Channel or any other music stations, when the government and whatever else is forcing these things into our lives for the sake of love, it's all lies. John told us in the second reading, God is love. So anything that is not of God cannot be love. And the opposite of God is diabolical. So when under the umbrella of love, they try to change what marriage is or change the biological nature of the human person out of love, that's a lie. It's a diabolical lie that's trying to destroy the truth of who God is and who you are in His eyes. Jesus says a beautiful phrase. It was not you who chose me, but I chose you. And why did He choose us? Because He loves us. Because He looks upon us with love. And He pours Himself into us, regardless of who and where we are and where we've been. He's chosen us. How easy it is for us to forget this truth, this reality. The world beats us up about who we are, with our identity, and the choices that we make. God never changes His impression of us. He never not chooses us. We are His chosen. And we are always the object of His love. If we forget that, if we forget that we've been chosen, then we're stuck fighting for our identity. We're stuck trying to make our own way in this world, fighting against one another to make sure that I get what I need to make my own life. This is not the way of the gospel. This is not the way of the disciple. And this is what Jesus is reminding us of and inviting us to renew our belief in this truth, that He is love and He has chosen us to live in that love. And when we do, when we stop fighting, and we believe that we've been chosen, when we receive this life-giving gift of His Son, Jesus, then our lives are radically transformed. That we will never be the same once we encounter this love of the Father that He has for each one of us. We are then compelled to share it with each other. We don't even need the command to love one another, because once we've tasted, once we've encountered His love, then we must love one another. It's the only appropriate response to such a beautiful gift, to love one another as God, as the Christ, has loved us, being willing to die for the sake of the other, which is so beautifully mirrored in Christian marriage. That we love each other as Christ loves the church. And this is what happened to St. Peter. Why, in this first reading from Acts chapter 10, we get little verses, little glimpses of the whole story. But this changed salvation history. And because what happened during the first reading today, most of us are sitting here today. Most of us, I assume, are of Gentile origin. We're not Jewish converts. And what happened today, as Peter was talking to Cornelius, this Greek man, this Gentile, as Peter was talking to him, sharing the truth about Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. The same way it happened to the apostles at the upper room at Pentecost. This amazing encounter with the love of God poured out in the Spirit. This one says, God shows no partiality. There is no one who's too far away. There is no one who's outside of the promise. This promise, this life-giving message of Jesus is for everyone. So do we believe that we've been chosen? Or have we believed the lies of the world about what is love and how I have to make my own way? Or do I simply receive this gift, knowing it can be difficult to do this, to fight against the tide of the world? Have I believed this? Have I received my identity from Christ as the object of His love? And then do I share this love? Do I love my neighbor as myself, as God has loved me? Or do I have people in my life who I have boxed out and have deemed them unworthy of God's love, unworthy of my time? Maybe someone sitting near to us tonight, someone in our families, in our neighborhoods. Maybe there's someone where we have said, no, they're too far away. They've gone too far. They've made bad choices. They're out. Because that's how the Gentiles were looked at by the Jews. They were outside the promise, that God had nothing for them, that the Jews were the chosen ones, the special ones. But this episode in Acts chapter 10 broke that wide open. And this is the life-giving message of Jesus Christ that should enrapture each one of our hearts in fiery love for everyone. That God died for me and he died for you, so that you can live in the freedom of the Spirit and no longer held bound by the captive, in captivity to the lies of this world. That you can live in freedom. This is the message of the gospel. And this was the last words of Jesus before he went to the Passion. He says, I'm telling you this so that my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. Jesus wants you to live in the joy of the gospel. Ask for the grace this evening to say yes, to be open to this message of salvation, of freedom, of peace, of joy. Allow the truth of who Jesus says he is and who he says you are to dominate your life and every choice you make from this moment on. This truly is life-changing. It never has to be the way it was before. You can experience the joy of the Lord. You can live as the chosen disciple that you are. And if you do, if you receive this life-giving message, if you allow the joy to be in your life, your joy truly will be complete. And you will want for nothing more ever again. Ask our Blessed Mother. Ask Saint Joseph to make this a reality for you. Say yes to this invitation to love, to life, to joy. Let your joy be complete. Amen.